Does it feel like we are more divided now than we have been before? How do we interpret the present time? The summer of 1965 was another time of great division in this country. During the first 2 weeks of August alone, there was a dramatic escalation in the number of American soldiers being sent to Vietnam. The Bureau of Labor Statistics announced that the rate of inflation had doubled since the summer before. The Voting Rights Act banning racial discrimination in voting was signed into law, and the Watts Rebellion in Los Angeles resulted in the deaths of 34 Black Americans at the hands of the National Guard and the LAPD. On August 14, 1965, 29 people, most of whom were too young to vote, were arrested in Fort Deposit, Alabama, for picketing whites-only stores. A crowd of white people with rocks, bottles, and baseball bats faced them. All the protesters were arrested and carted off in a garbage truck to the jail in Hainesville, a facility without air conditioning, showers, or toilets. 5 juveniles were released the next day, but the other 24 were held for 6 days, as the authorities refused to release any of them until bail could be raised for all of them. On August 20th, they were released without transportation back to Fort Deposit. No one was waiting to pick them up, so it was clear that bail had not been posted. It felt like a setup. They were ordered off the jail property, and while waiting for their rides, 4 of them went to buy cold drinks at a nearby store known to sell to blacks and whites. 2 were white men, a Catholic priest and an Episcopal seminarian, and 2 were young black members of SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. As they approached the store, the doorway was barred by a volunteer sheriff's deputy, Tom Coleman, who threatened them and pointed his shotgun at 17-year-old Ruby Sales. Jonathan Daniels, the 26-year-old seminarian, pushed her out of the way and took the full force of the blast. He was killed instantly. Tom Coleman then shot Richard Morris Rowe, the Catholic priest, in the back, severely wounding him. Ruby Sales didn't speak for 7 months. Coleman was acquitted by a jury of 12 white men who shook his hand when he left the courtroom. A year later, he said on national television that he'd shoot them again tomorrow. It's clear from today's gospel that if maintaining the status quo is what's required for unity and peace, Jesus isn't interested. Neither was Jonathan Daniels. In March 1965, while studying for the priesthood in Cambridge, Massachusetts, he saw the televised coverage of the brutal police attack on peaceful protesters as they tried to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma, Alabama. And the next day, he heard Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s plea for clergy and students to join them on the march from Selma to the state courthouse in Montgomery. That night, at evening prayer, while singing these lines from Mary's song, "He hath put down the mighty from their seat, and hath exalted the humble and meek. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty," John said, "I knew then that I must go to Selma." He meant to stay only for the weekend, but after missing the bus to return to seminary, he and a friend decided to ask permission to stay in Selma and continue their studies remotely, though they didn't call it that in those days. He lived with a black family, tutored children, registered voters, and attempted to integrate the local Episcopal church. In May, he returned to seminary to take his exams, and by July, he was back in Selma to continue his civil rights work. Jonathan Daniels is commemorated as a martyr in the Episcopal Church on the day of his arrest, August 14th. Every year on August 15th, the church commemorates Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's not a coincidence that Mary's song, the Magnificat, is among the lessons for both days. And it's not a contradiction that her revolutionary Song of Reversals and the angel's song announcing Jesus' birth, "With peace on earth, goodwill to all," is the same gospel in which Jesus shouts, "Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, I have come instead to bring division." When Simeon's song, recognizing the infant Jesus as the Messiah, ends, he tells Mary, "This boy is assigned to be the cause of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that generates opposition, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your innermost being too." Luke's gospel isn't afraid to show us the pain and division of the world. How do we reconcile these songs, these messages? How do we go from division to unity, from heartbreak to joy, from death to life? Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, as Lindsay will remind us in just a few minutes when she breaks the bread and gathers us together. Mary, Simeon, and Jesus are just three of the prophets that fill Luke's gospel. According to New Testament scholar Luke Timothy Johnson, the prophet, filled with and led by God's Spirit, speaks God's words to the people, embodies God's word, enacts God's vision, and bears witness in the face of opposition. God's vision for humanity, as Luke shows us in the gospel at its companion volume, the book of Acts, is liberation and transformation. Johnson says, "The forgiveness of sins in Luke Acts is neither a program of institutional reform nor a matter of private piety. It is the reformation of human politics that begins in the human heart. It is expressed above all in an intentional community filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. In my great cloud of witnesses, I remember Mary and Jonathan Daniels. But today is also to remember Ruby Sales. She regained her voice and later attended Episcopal Divinity School in Cambridge, Massachusetts, successor institution to the seminary John had attended. She is a human rights advocate and public theologian. And in 2016, another divisive year, she was interviewed by Krista Tippett on National Public Radio. She said, "Love is not antithetical to being outraged. Let's be very clear about that. And love is not antithetical to anger. There are two kinds of anger. There's redemptive anger, and there's non-redemptive anger. And so redemptive anger is the anger that moves you to transformation and human upbuilding. Non-redemptive anger is the anger that white supremacy roots itself in. I think we have to have a conversation that incorporates a vision of love with a vision of outrage." May that be a prophetic word for us in the present time.